Going to be reading from John 14:15-31. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered him, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us be on our way. There's a neat little story that's appropriate for Memorial Day weekend. It's about an older gentleman and his wife. They're sitting in the parking lot of a supermarket, the hood's up on their car. Obviously something wrong with the engine, they can't get it running. A young man comes out of the store with a grocery bag in his arm, walks in their direction. The old gentleman emerges from the car and takes a few steps towards the young man and asks him if he would give them some help. The young man puts his grocery bag into his expensive SUV, turns back to the old man and yells at him, "You shouldn't be even allowed to drive a car at your age." And then with a wave of a hand, he gets into his car, speeds out of the parking lot. The old gentleman wipes his brow with his handkerchief, goes back to his car, turns and looks at his wife and assures her that everything is going to be okay. Then a stranger approaches the old man. "Looks like you're having a problem," he says. The old man smiles and quietly nods his head. The stranger looks under the hood of the car but has no more expertise about an automobile engine than the old man. He assures the elderly gentleman he will return and heads to a nearby service station. He explains the situation to a mechanic and says he will pay him if he would help the elderly couple with their car. Returning with the mechanic, the stranger gets into a conversation with the old gentleman. The stranger is wearing a ring signifying that he had been a Marine. Coincidentally, so had the old man. He confides that he had served in some of the harshest battles in our nation's history, including Guadalcanal and Okinawa. He had retired from the Marine Corps after the war. After the car was repaired and running, the old gentleman handed a card to the stranger and they shook hands and parted. A little while later, the stranger happened to look at the card. The name of the old gentleman was on the card in gold leaf, and under his name was written Congressional Medal of Honor Society. It was only then that former Marine realized that he had come into the aid of one of America's heroes. And I think that's a good reminder this Memorial Weekend that there are men and women who have served their country yet received very little in return. So it's only right that we recognize the sacrifice and honor their memory this holiday weekend. And it's sad that we've got men and women who have served their country, men and women who have sacrificed their lives serving this country, that received very little respect. Something that kind of started back during the Vietnam War when our young men and women came back from Vietnam and were spit on and cursed at and given no respect for what they had done for their country. They did that to provide us with the freedoms that we enjoy today. And that's why we honor and celebrate Memorial Day. Actor Martin Sheen, I'm not sure how much you might know about him, but he is a very deeply religious man, has great social convictions, probably known best from the TV show The West Wing. Well, he was filming the movie Apocalypse Now. They were in the Philippines jungle, and it was pretty strenuous, pretty hot. He woke up one morning and realized he was suffering a massive heart attack. Parts of his body were numb and paralyzed. He fell out of the cot and managed to crawl to the door to get help. Through their efforts, the film crew, doctors, and even a stunt pilot who flew him to a nearby hospital, they saved his life. But in the meantime, his wife rushed to his side. He was actually becoming weaker. Didn't look like he was going to make it. He was in grave condition. His wife knew that he needed something to give him a little strength. So she looked at him, held his hand, and said, "It's just a movie, babe. It's only a movie." Well, he tells that when he heard that, he knew he was going to make it. He couldn't laugh, but he smiled. And with a smile, he began to heal. And after all, in the movies, people don't really die, do they? For an actor, what could provide more comfort than for a wife to say, "It's just a movie, babe, it's only a movie"? I tell you that little story because I think sometimes we wish life was only a movie. Some of the things that happen to us in our lives, we would like to be able to stand back and say, "No, it's only a movie." It would make life easier. Sometimes when you're young, we want to have that fast forward button so we can fast forward to Christmas, or fast forward to getting your driver's license, or fast forward to moving out of the house and getting away from mom and dad's rules. As an adult, when times are good, we wish we had a pause button so we could stay in those good times. And as the disciples suggested to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, it would be nice to be able to build three little huts there and stay there for a while. We don't remain young. We don't have a pause button when things are going well. And some of us even would like to have a rewind button so we can go back and maybe enjoy the good times in life. But life is not like a movie. And we don't have an erase button to get rid of those things that happened to us in our lives that were no fun. So it would be nice sometimes if life was like a movie, but it's not. We face life head on. Things happen to us. Our young men and women go off to war, and some of them don't return. They do actually die, not like in the movies. Jesus, in the verses we read, we're talking about how because I live, you also will live. And that's really the heart of our Christian faith. That's how we get through life. That's how we overcome obstacles. Some of you are familiar, probably most of you are familiar with the gospel song, "Because He Lives," written by the Gaithers. And I think I may have told this story a few sermons back, or parts of it. The Gaithers didn't have a great life like most people would have thought they had. They had their problems just like anybody else. And in the 60s, it was a time when people were accusing them of making money off God. And this was becoming a problem. Their sister, Bill's sister, Mary Ann, went through a divorce. Bill was recovering from mononucleosis. This was just really not a good time for them. But at this time, Gloria was pregnant with their fourth child. And she remembers thinking to herself, this is a terrible time to bring another child into this world and into this sad society. It was a time when the New York Times declared God is dead. It was a terrible time in society. But after praying about it and thinking about it, they gained strength from the Holy Spirit. And Christ came to their aid. He reaffirmed their hearts. And they were assured that things were going to be okay. And in July 1970, they had a healthy baby, Benjamin. And it inspired them to write the song, Because He Lives. Because they were grateful to Christ. Because I live, you also will live. That's what Christ told us, told his disciples. Christ's words remind us that first of all, we are loved. So now listen to the rest of it that I've already read. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Jesus is telling us that we are loved, that we are a part of him and he is a part of us. There was a while back a gentleman by the name of Tom Kalinske. He was the chairman of a company called Leapfrog. Some of you know what Leapfrog is. Grandparents, the little games, teaching games, electronic teaching games. And the way that came about, he tells this story about how back when computers first started coming on the scene, they were expensive. Not many people knew about them. But there was a junior high school in Southern California that decided they would run a little experiment. They purchased some computers, put them in this lab, and they were going to let their students use them 4 hours out of the week to see if it made a difference in their education. This was a particular junior high school that had some of the worst scores. The problem was the principal had decided that because computers were so expensive and not very many people knew about them, that the special ed students were not going to be allowed to touch them. Pretty sad if you ask me. But there was a very dedicated special education teacher who badgered the principal until he finally gave in and allowed the special ed students the same 4 hours a week on the computers. And they discovered that the special ed students actually did better than the regular students. They learned more by using the computers. There was a little Hispanic girl who had never learned to read, and she was very intimidated. And because of that, she wasn't able to communicate and just didn't get the phonetic skills. But the computer didn't intimidate her like the other students did. And in one semester, she began to read at her proper grade level. The most touching story was a young kid named Raymond. He had every problem you can imagine. He lived in a dysfunctional home. He was extremely shy, had bad eyesight, and zero academic performance. But they got him in front of one of those computers, and he got the same 4 hours a week. And he says, "You see, the other students called me a retard. The computer calls me Raymond." And because the computer called him Raymond, it didn't intimidate him like the other students So he became motivated and became very skilled academically because of that. There's motivation there. And that's what brought on the leapfrog educational computers. Some students deal better with the computer than they do other people. And in our society today, we have those kinds of problems. People feel like they're nameless. They're a number in a system somewhere. They're faceless. They don't count like these special ed students. But Christ assures us that we do count, that He loves us, and that He's always with us. I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Christ is within us, with us, around us, inside our hearts. We don't have to go to a mountaintop to find Him. He's right there with us. Pastor John Ortberg tells about some friends of his who have a daughter. And when this daughter was 5 years old, she told her parents, "I know Jesus lives in my heart because when I put my hand on it, I can feel Him walking around in there." And that's kind of a neat little way of thinking about it. He walks around in there. "Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." There's a teenager named James Dungy who committed suicide a while back. It was a terrible blow to his father, Tony, who was the coach for the Indianapolis Colts. Many prayers were lifted up for the Dungy family. And when he finally came back to his coaching position, he wanted to thank the organization and his friends and the people around him because he knew that it was his faith in Christ that got him through it. Their prayers and his faith in Christ. How many of us could cope with a situation like that without Christ in our lives? How many could lose a child and still cope with it? Because we know Christ loves us. There's a lot of people that believe in God. You can walk up and down the street and ask people, "Yeah, I believe in God." But they believe in a God that's out there somewhere, not a God that's in here. There's a story told of a mother who, rather than ask her children, "How was your day?" when she got ready to put them to bed at night, she would ask them, "Where did you meet God today?" And the children would tell her different things about their day, where they felt like they met God. For example, "A teacher helped me. There was a homeless person in the park. I saw a tree with lots of flowers on it." They would tell her things like that because they saw God in things. And then she would tell them, "I met God today too, because I met God in you," her children. And that's a great way to look at your day. Look for God. Feel God's presence. Meet God in your world. Christ says, "Because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me, and I am in you." The love we have in Christ is not just a sentimental love. It's not a mushy, feel-good kind of thing. It's genuine, 100% love. Love for Christ is expressed through how we live our lives, how we obey His commands. We are soldiers in Christ's army in a war against sin and injustice, and that gives us meaning and purpose in our lives. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, and on that day we honor those men and women who have given their lives in service to our country. The obedience that the soldier gives to those in command often puts our obedience to Christ to shame. In 2005, there was a Captain James Key who was an Army chaplain. He wrote some words that were published in USA Today. He says, "This past year, I served as chaplain for a 600-soldier logistics battalion in Baghdad. These soldiers had to deliver supplies along the most dangerous routes in Iraq. When bombs exploded, the reality of war forced many to do some serious soul searching. I am back home in the States now, a safe distance away from death and war, the challenge many servicemen and women in ways most people in our country will never fully understand. One evening, a casualty officer and I drove down the road on our way to inform a soldier's spouse that her husband had died in Iraq. And as an Army chaplain, I thought about how difficult it would be for this young mother and how empty the two children's lives would be without their dad. This year, as we celebrate Memorial Day, we should pause as a nation and think about the men and women who continue to fight and die in such places as Iraq and Afghanistan." Captain Key writes, "War is hell. Freedom is expensive. Death is painful, and faith still matters, especially to those in the foxhole." And that's why Jesus says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And these young men and women are laying down their lives for strangers, people that they don't even know. And we should honor them for that. Jesus laid down his life for us as a friend. And because he lives, we live. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. He loves us and dwells within us. And we should live for him in the same respect. So tomorrow when you celebrate Memorial Day, I know it's a big day for getting out and grilling out and feeding the family and maybe the friends, neighbors, whatever. But remember what Memorial Day is really all about. It's not about picnics and steaks on the grill. It's about honoring the fallen. It's about honoring those who are still serving. It's about remembering. So I would hope that sometime during the day tomorrow, no matter what you're doing, and if you're with a group of people, suggest that you all bow your heads for a few minutes and silently pray to God and thank those who have gone before and those who are continuing to fight. Because that is what Memorial Day is all about. Amen.